Hey, hockey heads, get ready for the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge. Each game day, answer four questions. Pick the winning team, guess if points will be over or under, predict the first goal, and choose the highest scoring period. Daily winners snag gift cards, while each round's champs pocket cold, hard cash. Play now at games.dailyfaceoff.com and prove your puck prowess. It's fast, it's fun, and it's all about hockey. Let's go!
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
The Nation Network presents Coming in Hot.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Coming in Hot. I'm Brent Wallace alongside 13-year NHL veteran defenseman Jason York as we continue Hall of Fame week here with Daniel Alfredson being inducted on Monday. And Yorkie, we brought in another Hall of Famer to finish out the week. Marion Hosa is going to join us later.
Yeah, what a get today, Wally. Marion Hosa, one of the best guys you'll ever meet, and what an outstanding career he had as well. Eh? And I know he's got the book out, just released a few days ago about his career. And, you know, he's one of the good guys in the game, and I know people here in Ottawa have a lot of special feelings about how this guy played the game. I'm going to tell you, we were neighbors for a couple seasons in his early times in Ottawa, and when he came over, Wally, he just made such an effort to learn the language, be part of the group. And I really think that's a big reason why Marion kind of adapted quickly, because sometimes there's a transition period, right? When young guys come over from Europe, especially back then, but there wasn't much for Marion. He came in, he embraced it, and he just took off. And what a player, what a person.
Did he keep his lawn mowed?
I think his mom did that, because he lived with his mom for the first year in the league. Oh, we used to bug him about that. Well, mommy came over, take care of Haas. But hey, he's like 18, 19 years old in a new country, and it's easy to tease somebody. But hey, if I went over to Slovakia or Russia when I was 19 years old, I would have needed somebody as well. We used to have his mom over for dinner, though, Laurel and I. And if you want to see how a kid is, just look at their parents, and both Marion's parents, just unbelievable people.
Phenomenal people, absolutely. We will get to that in a sec. As always, the Coming in Hot show brought to you by Renfrew Pro Tape. Go to renfrewpro.com. Also available in all major retailers, including like Pro Hockey Life, Sport Check, Canadian Tire. They are the ones with the green core. By the way, they also invented shin pad tape. I always like to bring that up because I think it's kind of cool. They have the best tape. They are the worldwide leaders in tape. They have, I think, the last 20 straight years, the Stanley Cup champion has used Renfrew Pro Tape. It's been in their locker room. So renfrewpro.com. That is the worldwide leader in pro tape. The one with the green core. Yorkie, we got lots to talk about. We're going to go streaking later today. That is with the Sens are losing. The New Jersey Devils are winning. Claude Giroux's on a streak. The Sens can't win on the road. All that stuff. However, before we get to that, I don't know if hell froze over. I don't know what happened, but Nikita Zaitsev is on waivers, and it doesn't look like he's going to be in the lineup against New Jersey. We don't even know if he's going to get claimed at this point. There's a little bit of shock. Are you surprised to see Nikita Zaitsev on waivers?
No, I'm not. I'm not at this point. I know people were wondering when it was going to happen. They thought he never should have started the season with Ottawa. Poor guy, too. If he was watching, if he has a Twitter account or social media, holy cow, he was taking some. I actually didn't think he was that bad the last couple of games, but the microscope was on him. And the way Bernard Docker played in the last game makes it a little bit easier because you don't want to rush him. He was doing awesome down in Belleville playing as in their top shutdown pairing. I watched him pretty closely against Vancouver. He's got a presence about him when he's on the ice. He just has a confidence, and he did exactly what he needed to do to probably make this move a lot easier in the Ottawa Senators' minds of not having to rush him, because he looked really comfortable in the game, Wally. He made some real nice plays. He just played within himself. And for JBD, I think he's going to get a real good long look. He'll probably be here, in my opinion. I know it's a small sample size. Just keep him here. Let him make some mistakes and let him learn the game. He looks, right now, he looks like he's ready. And also, too, what's going on in Ottawa right now, they need some stability back there on the blue line. So yeah. Right now, the future is now for JBD. And if he plays like he did against Vancouver, he's not going to have any problems. But don't kid yourself. He's going to have some bumps in the roads as well, just like Sanderson, just like all young D do. But he's going to have to learn on the job. But I really liked what I saw in that game against Vancouver. I thought he was excellent.
17 minutes, 27 seconds of ice time. Goes from arguably being a healthy scratch when he got called up to playing as a top pairing with Thomas Chabot. We're going to get to that in a sec because I think something doesn't add up there. But do you think Jacob Bernard Docker can fill that spot alongside Thomas Chabot? And let's just say, at least for the time being, until there are perhaps changes, is he good enough to be a top two D pairing?
Well, that's asking a lot. And honestly, I think expectations need to change with the Ottawa Senators. And a lot of pressure was put on this young group in the summertime when they said, hey, they basically said, we have to be a playoff team. If you read between the lines, we got to be a playoff team, meaningful games, whatever you want to call it, or it's going to be a failure. So you got this young group right now, and they're squeezing the sticks. You get a little bit of adversity, vice versa. You look what's going on in Montreal right now. Everyone's like saying, why are the Montreal Canadiens playing better? What were they saying in the summer in Montreal in comparison to Ottawa with their young group? Basically playing with house money. And I say this all the time. It is so much easier for young players who are just getting their feet wet in the NHL to play when expectations are low. So if you're going to have high expectations for JBD and you think he's going to come in and be a top two defenseman, that's asking a lot. Can he do it? Time will tell. But let him play. Just let him learn on the job. He's going to make mistakes. It's going to be trial by fire here. But I just think that messaging in the summer, it's fine to say that. And I'll say it again. The blue line was not addressed in the summer. Everyone that got all excited and we're going to be a playoff team, we got DeBrincat, we got Giroux. That's fine. And great players, but they didn't bring in a defenseman. And all of a sudden you start the season, you get one injury and shit hits the fan. that shouldn't happen. But here we are. And all of a sudden they're 4-8 and everyone's got the panic button going. And now we're talking about Jacob Bernard Docker. Can he be a top four defenseman? Well, that's not asking a lot for a young kid to come in. And I know Sanderson's like looking like one, but man, ask any guy in hockey. The worst thing you can do is rush a player into the league. But the Senators have put themselves in a situation. I don't want to point fingers, but again, careful what you say in the summer, and careful with the pressure expectations. Hey, these guys are pros. Pressure is part of it. I get it. But that's the reason, a big reason, why Montreal's doing what they're doing and Ottawa's doing what they're doing. Like, it's just you can't just start winning right away in the league. There's a process you have to take. I thought at the end of last year, Ottawa made some steps. They were starting to play better hockey, I thought, at the end of the year. And now they come back this season, bring in some star players who are great players, but don't bring in any defensemen. So there you go.
But Yorkie, the reason they played better at the end of last year, there was no expectations. That's the house money. We see it every year with Ottawa at the end.
Yes.
They start playing better because there's no pressure.
But if
and
you
then we
look
get
at
this
any
false sense of going into the following season.
Exactly. But if you look at any good team, there is a process. Colorado was a bad team for a long time. You got to take your lumps. You lose as You lose some games and you gain experience. You look at this young core and last year's team, Brady Tkachuk, Batherson, Timmy Stützle. Like, look at this team right now down the middle. Again, one injury, and you're asking this team to be a playoff team with Stützle, that is a, I think he's a world talent, but he's a young guy. Like, he's a very young guy. And then all of a sudden you have Pinto, who's a rookie. You got Kastelic, who's a rookie. And you got Brassard, who he's done a decent job, but he's on the back nine of his career. You really think this team, the way it's built down the middle and with the blue line, has the ability and with the pressure that's on them right now to be a playoff team? The strength of this team is on the wings. Tkachuk, DeBrincat, Drew, Batherson. And with Norris out of the lineup, the two most important positions beside your goaltender, it's not strong enough, not enough experience. It will be. I think this team is going to be a really good team down the road, but I just think the messaging totally different than what's going on in Montreal. And all of a sudden, here we are. It's 4-8, couple big injuries, and the heat's on. People are talking about firing the coach. But I, again, they didn't, they started the season with Nikita Zaitsev, who's now on waivers. Travis Hamonic, I don't want to crap on Travis Hamonic, but he was waived through the entire NHL. No other team wanted him. Nobody. Ottawa actually could have got him on waivers, then they decided to trade for him. But now here he is in Ottawa and had a pretty good start to the season. But again, it's the blue line.
He didn't look very good in the last game. But I will go – okay, so we're going to go to Nikita Zaitsev being on waivers and what has all transpired in the last little bit. JBD gets called up on that weekend, and we suspect he's going to play. Otherwise, why are you pulling him out of Belleville when they're actually playing games? He doesn't play. He gets sent back down. I found that odd. Is this a move by Pierre Dorion to isolate Nikita Zaitsev out of the lineup and not give DJ Smith the option to play Nikita Zaitsev, which is what it seems like as the eye test appears? Because there's nobody out there. I haven't seen anybody anywhere go, you have to put Nikita Zaitsev in your lineup if you're going to win. All right? They're 0-8 with him in the lineup. I don't know if that's all on Nikita Zaitsev. Don't get me wrong. I thought he was very good in the Vegas game. But
are you telling me
at some point here,
Wally, are you telling me that yeah. Pierre Dorion is like a Billy Bean and DJ Smith's the coach and it's Moneyball where he won't play the player?
Right. I think that's exactly what's happened here. This makes more sense as a power move to tell DJ Smith we're not playing Nikita Zaitsev anymore.
Well, maybe. I would have to think most organizations, you're meeting with your general manager, the coach, everyone's on the same page. You make decisions together, especially during tough times. I'm bringing this guy up. I'd like him to play. You'd have a conversation, wouldn't you? I'm just thinking logically here right now. I see your point. But something we talked about the other day, maybe there was something in the works when Docker was called up the first time and the trade fell through and they brought him up. And the other thing, too, is everybody nowadays makes such a big deal if a guy gets called up and for some reason he doesn't play. Like, times have really changed, Wally. Like, it's... That happens more often than people think. It's just under the microscope here when the team is losing. Everyone loses their shit. And it's like, oh my God, he's got to play. Well, so it's, man, I'm going to tell you something. I got called up for a game once with Detroit. I got called up the day before. I flew into Chicago from Adirondack. Stayed at the Drake downtown Chicago. It was an afternoon game the next day in Chicago. I came to the rink, met the team, got my gear on for warm-up. I'm walking up the stairs to Chicago Stadium. I'm all excited. I get the tap on the shoulder from Scotty Bowman. Yeah, you're not going to play tonight. Oh, okay. Yeah, we'd like you to leave right now. Get on a flight. You're booked for a 2:30 flight, and you're going to play back in Adirondack tonight. So I had to pack my bag, walk through Chicago Stadium with my bag over my shoulder, go outside, hail a cab, get on a plane, fly back to Adirondack, which is Albany Airport, hour drive from the airport to the rink, get my gear on, and it was halfway through the first period, and I played the rest of the game in Adirondack. Like, I don't know. I didn't complain.
How'd you play?
I'm not saying Docker's complaining, but it's I was a young guy. I was a prospect. I was Detroit's number one prospect. But shit happens, man. You deal with it. It's part of the business. It's part of being a pro. And we can speculate on what happened. But if you're Docker, I know he doesn't mind. But it's just interesting when you talk about guys getting called up. And he needs to play. He needs to play. It's one game. I know they're losing. I know it's a big deal, but it's not the end of the world. It's the good thing is though, Zaitsev now, it's the right thing has been done, and you move on. Yeah.
The difference is when you played, there was no cap. This time, there's a cap, which affects the budget. So if you just call players up, you're affecting the budget and costing money that may be available or needed to be down the road. I'm not saying that's in Ottawa's case, but money plays a big part now. And now you're taking a guy out of a lineup where a team needs to play and he needs to play. There's no point in doing what they're doing if they're not calling him up to play him. I get that there's a guy potentially injured. We're not sure if he's going to go. Yeah, that happens a bit. But it's rare now just to call people up on speculation. Usually they know pretty well if he's going to play.
Well, I do agree with that. It's an easy drive from Belleville to Ottawa, what, 2-3 hours. It's not much. And DJ Smith right now coaching like his life depends on it. Like he's trying to make the right decision. I'm not defending him here with the whole Zaitsev situation. And all I can tell you, and people wonder why this happens with certain players, I'll tell you something about the NHL, how it works. Every coach, every GM has their guy. You know who my guy was? Most people think he's not a smart guy. My guy was Pierre Gauthier. If it wasn't for Pierre Gauthier, I probably don't play nearly as many games as I can play, as I played in the league. He traded for me from Detroit to Anaheim. He was assistant GM there. Then he became the general manager of the Ottawa Senators. And guess what? He brought Jason York to Anaheim. Then he went back to Anaheim 5 years later. And hey, Jason York signs as a free agent for the Anaheim Ducks. It's just so everyone has their guy. Like it's pretty obvious. Travis Hamonic is Jack Capuano's guy. He had him in New York. Coached him. Hamonic had his best years there. DJ Smith was the D coach in Toronto. When Zaitsev was there, playing his best years, he was really good. DJ came over. Zaitsev came over. So there's history there. He likes him. He trusts him. Obviously, he's played, I'm not going to say terrible, but he hasn't been very good. And a lot of heat on DJ Smith for doing that. But the reason is everybody has their guys. And my guy was Pierre Gauthier at the York family dinners. Especially on special occasions, Wally, we give thanks to Pierre Gauthier.
table setting for him.
We got a little setting at the end of the table for the ghost. Hey, Pierre, how you doing? Thanks for that extra
couple
contract
of cookies
down the road. I appreciate it. Hey, I think Pierre Gauthier is one of the smartest men in hockey. By the way, so there.
I could see that coming. Finally, on the Zaitsev topic.
Yes.
By the time we're done this, we won't know if he's cleared waivers or not. Do you suspect he clears waivers? And here's what I think is going to happen. You know what? Go ahead, and I'm going to tell you what I think here in a second.
No, you tell me first. You tell me first. You have a theory here. Okay. I know we're talking about.
So his cap hits $4.5 million. He makes $2.5 million in real dollars, and $2 million of that million was in a signing bonus. So he's been already paid. So he's now paid for the year $500,000, which is obviously less since we're a month into the season. That's not a lot of money. If you need a serviceable defenseman, I know people are laughing at me right now when I say serviceable. In a different system, he might be fine, right? Under different coaching, maybe he's a different player. But next year, he makes a $4.5 million cap hit. Again, I get it. It's not everybody's got one of those, but he only gets $2.5 million in real salary. You're not taking on a lot of money in NHL standards to have a depth guy around. I'm not sure if he gets through waivers or not.
So how it works is pro scouts watch all the teams. They have their notes. They do their scouting, and they say, okay, Zaitsev might be available here. So whoever the pro scout for the team that's going to acquire Zaitsev, he's going to be putting his name on the line when he does this. So if you're a pro scout, are you p- putting your name on the line, your livelihood for the way Zaitsev has played to start this season. He's got two things going for him. Number one, he's a right shot D, and that is very valuable in the NHL. Right shot D, we all know they're coveted around the NHL, but you need a right shot D that can move the puck. Puck moving right shot D, and probably the biggest blemish on Zaitsev's game right now is he doesn't move the puck very well, doesn't make great decisions with the puck. And for a veteran guy, he doesn't play with a lot of calmness and a lot of poise. He competes hard. He's pretty good on the penalty kill. He's a good teammate, all that stuff. But I don't think he's going to get picked up. The extra year, number one, and number two, he hasn't played well. And why would you bring in a guy early in the year? Maybe later, Wally. Maybe later somebody picks him up. You're going for a run. Hey, you know what? Let's pick this guy up because we need an extra body just in case you're loading up on your defense. I think early right now, I think it's going to be tough. Everyone's playing their young guys. Everyone's looking at what they have. Why would you bring in Nikita Zaitsev to kind of complicate what you already have, especially that he's not playing that well? So I don't think he gets picked up, but could be wrong.
Fair enough. In my brain, I'm like, who's going to pick him up? But I used to think that about a lot of contracts that I never thought would get moved. So my point is we sit around going, well, that contract will never get moved. And then suddenly someone makes a trade for it. So I remember Phil Kessel's deal. People didn't think he would get moved, or Dion Phaneuf's contract. They traded David Clarkson, who was never going to play again. Right. Like there is a, there's math gymnastics that happens. That's all.
Yeah. Who do you think would? So here's one. Who do you think would take him? If I know, Wally. I know you're out of what. Who do you got?
I don't have anybody, but I feel like there's always a coach that says I can fix X player. I can fix him. Bring him in. There's always someone who thinks they can do that.
Unfortunately, he's the Ottawa Senators coach right now. It's DJ Smith.
That's the guy. Jack. Yeah, I could fix him. Not so much. So maybe he goes back to Toronto. Who knows?
And listen, I hate shitting on... Hey, Wally, by the way, I hate shitting on players. It's a tough league to play in. And hey, the guys make lots of money, big boy pants, all that stuff. I get it. But I don't like to see guys struggle. I don't like to see guys... It sucks. But it is what it is. It is what it is. He hasn't played well. I've been moved before. I've been treated like crap before. I know how it feels. Probably the best story, to your point, remember Larry Murphy back in the day? He was getting booed in Maple Leaf Gardens. Everybody thought he was finished, terrible player. Then goes to Detroit and wins the Stanley Cup and actually plays really good hockey. It doesn't hurt when he got to play with Nicklas Lidström as his partner, but you never know.
But that's my point.
I get it. Yeah.
It's like, what if Nikita Zaitsev goes and pairs with somebody that ends up like, I'll bring this up because Eric Goodbranson I really like the Goody as a player, as a person. Yep. I didn't think he was very good in Ottawa. Goes to Pittsburgh, looked very good. Goes to Calgary, is like a shutdown guy, and then gets a 4-year, $16 million contract. You never know. If Yorkie, 7,500 players in the history of the National Hockey that have played in the National Hockey League. 75, that's it over the course of the entire NHL. You are a special type of player to play in the National Hockey League. So for us to say these players are no good, they're extremely good. They just look like they're struggling against other high caliber players. But let's give them some credit here. They are in the National Hockey League. Yeah.
Wally, quick story for you, real quick. So I once, when I was in Anaheim, and Pierre Gauthier, who I give thanks to at dinner, was fired. So the guy that brought me into Anaheim got fired. And the next year, Mike Babcock came in as coach. Brian Murray was the GM. And all of a sudden, my guy was gone. And we had a really bad team in Anaheim. And I got sent to the minors. And it looked like my career was over. Everybody thought I was terrible. For whatever reason. And then I got traded for a dollar. I got traded for a dollar bill. And Nashville had to pick up half my salary. And I could have been done. And if people around the league looked around, hey, this guy traded for a dollar. And then I ended up going to Nashville, playing some pretty good hockey, played some top 4 minutes. So, you do never know. But with Goodbranson and Zaitsev, for me, there's a difference. Because if you look at Zaitsev's game and you say, tell me one thing, and I know he said he works hard and all that, but the one thing Gudbranson has going for him is he's massive. He's 6'5", he's big, and he can fight.
Intimidating.
And he got put into a system with Daryl Sutter. And I watched a lot of Calgary Flames games. So, yeah, to your point, he was in the system. It helped him. But he's got some intangibles in his game that a guy like Zaitsev doesn't have, which is big. He can be really nasty, and he can fight too. He's a tough big guy, and a great family too. The Gudbranson family, real good people.
Yes, they are, and Ottawa could probably use them right about now, just to have some physicality on the back end, because it's something that I think is sorely lacking. Despite the fact that people talk about this day and age in hockey is all about speed and skill, they don't have anybody that's pushing people around. But that's another story for another day, Yorkie. We'll be here all day. By the way, the show brought to you by, as always, BEI, Bonisher Excavating, Inc. If you're looking for a job with heavy construction, give them a shout, bonisherexcavating.com. They are hiring. They need all kinds of people. Or give them a call, 613-432-1120. They also help with all your aggregate and landscaping needs. BEI, helping to shape the Ottawa Valley. All right, we're moving on. That is to today's game, Yorkie. Boy, oh boy. So the New Jersey Devils have won 7 in a row. They sit atop the Metropolitan Division. Ottawa, they've lost 6 in a row and sit 30th in the National Hockey League. Have yet to win a road game at 0-4. Boy, it doesn't look good for the Ottawa Senators going in. Now they've Matthew Joseph looks like he's going to be a healthy scratch tonight. We talked about this going into the season, how New Jersey and Ottawa, who was going to be better, who looked better. A lot of people thought it was going to be Ottawa was going to be ahead of New Jersey. Well, that's definitely not the case. New Jersey looks like they're for real so far in this early season.
What did New Jersey do in the offseason, Wally?
They addressed the D, Jay.
Yeah, there you go. Like the most important position besides your goaltender is they address their D. They're able to get their puck out of their own zone. They got lots of talent up front and not a lot of pressure either in New Jersey. And I hate making pressure as an excuse and all that, but they're just, they're off to a good start. And a big reason is they address their back end. They got guys that can move the puck. I really like Marino in Pittsburgh. Anyone that watched the Penguins play, this was an under the radar guy that plays with poise, plays with confidence. The thing with defensemen, you need a little bit of experience before you kind of figure out the league, who does what you can get away with, how quick the pace is, just reps. I remember talking to Dennis Potvin, and we used to chat about this all the time. He'd say, you need about 300 games in the league before you really kind of become the player you're going to be. It takes a while. Some guys, like for sure, like Makar and these other guys, they're prodigies, they're unbelievable, and it comes quicker, but a guy like Marino, he's got a little bit of experience now. They brought in Hamilton, who can move the puck. So they've done some nice things. So this will be, again, the most important game for the Ottawa Senators of the season, just like we said against the Vancouver game. But boy, oh boy, they need a win, and they need one tonight bad.
So I will say, all their losses, if I'm not mistaken, have all been basically one-goal games plus empty net goals. So does that mean either Ottawa is competitive and in all these games, or they're always playing from behind? And that's what it seems like to me, is Ottawa is always kind of trailing or playing from behind a lot of the time. And that changes how you play the game.
Chasing the game. You hear that expression all the time, you're chasing the game. I wouldn't agree with that in the Vancouver game. I thought they were really good. Like, I watched them very closely in that game. And people were upset after the game, but it wasn't a perfect game. They lost that game because of two plays in that third period. Hamonic gets beat in the corner, easy pass out front. The defense takes it back. Shabbat, Brännström then turns it over. Two games in a row, though, where the other team's goaltender, I look at the Vancouver game and then the game before with Philadelphia, both the opposition's goaltenders, I thought, outplayed Ottawa's goalies. And I'm not putting the loss on Ottawa's goaltenders. they could have really used a save in the Vancouver game. I thought Talbot, when Brännström turned that puck over, yeah, that's a grade A scoring chance. Really could have used a save there. And I know Talbot, a little unfair, hasn't played, didn't get a full camp, was thrown into the fire. But those are saves on a struggling team that you really need. And you look back and you can say, oh, well, that kind of won us the game there. But they didn't win. They did some good things. People aren't happy. It's they're in a huge hole now. They're in a huge hole, Wally. How do they get out of it? They got to go in and just try and limit their mistakes and clear their heads, try and take the pressure, try and get the monkey off their back and just play. It's tough. Like I said, it's the way this roster is composed right now. It's going to be really difficult because they're young down the middle. They're young on the back end. And they really need some kind of move, a defenseman to come in or get Zoo back in the lineup as quick as possible because he is really missed back there.
And Artem Zoo, by the way, if you don't know, is not on the trip as they're playing two games. They play New Jersey and Philadelphia. Quickly, last topic before we get to Marian Hossa, Hall of Fame member. Claude Giroux, obviously he's frustrated, hates losing, and he's watching this team lose games. But he's on a six-game point streak, Yorkie. 7 points, 5 goals. That's his best, longest point streak since February 23rd, 2019 to March 6th. 12 points during a seven-game point streak. He's come to play each and every night, it seems.
He's been fantastic. Good on faceoffs, good on the power play, scoring goals. Very good defensively, too, Wally. I'm watching Claude Giroux, the way he works on the ice. Like, he tracks so hard in the neutral zone when he's coming back on the back check. And so smart, poised, confident out there. I thought that was a terrific signing by Pierre Dorion. Exactly what the Ottawa Senators needed, especially for some of the guys like Brady Tkachuk, Josh Norris, Batherson. He's a great guy to learn from. Just about, I'm not even talking about the games, how he goes about his daily business, how he prepares, how he works out. You go for dinner, what he's talking about, the stories, the players he's played with, the faceoffs. We heard the stories about Stützle going in and watching how he takes faceoffs. Same with Norris. So I think it's a terrific signing. He's come and played as advertised, even better. And you got to give Dorion full marks for pulling off that move, because I think it has been an outstanding pickup. And Claude is, I think he's been terrific.
And when you're that good, you can score from basically outside the blue line at will, it seems. Yeah. That'll wrap it up for our Sens check. Alfie Week continues here on the show. Coming up, we have another Hall of Fame member. Marian Hossa joins us to chat about Alfie and about Hossa's career and about his new book. He's an author now. The guy does it all. You're watching Coming in Hot, brought to you by Renfrew ProTape. Marian Hossa, Hockey Hall of Fame member Marian Hossa. Welcome to the show. It's nice to see you again, sir.
Thank you guys for having me. It's nice to see you too.
Can you just quickly tell us, what's it like to be a Hockey Hall of Fame member?
Well, you know, it definitely was an honor to be finally in Toronto after a couple of years because the COVID situation, but at least I could enjoy it a little bit longer than anybody else. And it feels great. It feels great to be between the top players I was looking into when I was a young kid, and there were so many legends in the Hall of Fame. And you know, when you think about it, you still don't get it, even you there, but you still don't get it totally, you know, what you accomplished.
Yeah, it wasn't long ago, Haas, when we used to call you the young gun, like back in the day. You were just, it's crazy how time flies. So like, I remember you coming to Ottawa, you lived with your mom for the first year. You're English. Like, you were a guy that I know coming over to play with Portland, it really helped. But one thing that really sticks out with me, Haas, is you make such an effort to learn the language right away. And I think that's why you got immediate respect and why the guys loved you. Like, obviously, you were a good player, but because you were always hanging around the guys, tossing and making an effort. Remember Ivan Chernyk early on? He really struggled with the off-ice stuff, but not to pump your tires too much, Haas, here, because enough people have been doing that. But I just remember that early on, Haas. Like, you were you're a good guy early, man. And you just, the guys really love that about you. You just really wanted to be part of the group. And I think that was, for me, a big reason why off the ice, you were just immediately part of the group.
Yeah, thanks for mentioning it. The time go by so fast. And I remember joining Ottawa squad and I tried to make the team, try to establish myself as a top six players on a team. And that was my goal. First goal was to get drafted and then, be the guy who can basically, start scoring goals, making points, try to win the games for the team. And I was asking lots of questions, to the guys, and I think they like it about me because I try to, keep it simple, but also blend in and be part of the group. And you guys were great to me since I joined the Senators, and I just had a great memories.
There's lots of stuff to talk about with you. And by the way, you came in and you were second in the league or second in Calder voting. You finished runner up to Chris Drury, I think it was, if I'm not mistaken. You made the all-star, the all-rookie team. I'm going to take a time now to point out Tale of the Tape, brought to you by Renfrew Pro Tape. Some interesting notes we find out about Marian Hossa. 56, that's where you are. All-time scoring list in the National Hockey League, 1,134 points. 35th, most goals scored in NHL history, 525. 80, the 80th player in league history to score 1,000 points. And 31 is the all-time playoff points list. You're 31st in playoff points. That's a phenomenal number to me, 149 points. Is there any number that really stands out to you?
There is a few numbers. Obviously, when I started playing National Hockey League, my dream came true. And like I mentioned before, I tried to establish myself to be steady top six forward and try to help the team to win. But I never thought I could play, that's probably a bad word. There was never in my mind to play, I'm going to one day play 1,000 games or scoring 1,000 points or 500 goals. It just went step by step and try to be better each day. And that was my goal in my head, try to help the team. And all of a sudden, fast forward, and there was the milestones. And I was like, wow, that went by quick. And I got lucky to be part of those groups because I had the great, great players to play with me. And without them, I wouldn't be a Hall of Famer. I wouldn't win the Stanley Cup. So I would like to this way. Thanks all the teammates in Ottawa Senators and plus, other teams where I played, because without the team, you wouldn't be where you are.
Yeah. Daniel Alfredson is going to the Hall of Fame next week. You're in the Hall of Fame. It's such a great accomplishment. I asked Alfie this, and we were at the other day, and I said, what do you think it was that got you to the next level? And Alfie just kept talking about hard work and the process, and he was a little bit of a late bloomer. I know your dad was really involved with you and your brother. Your dad coached a little bit. Is there anything you could put your finger on, like when you were young? Are you a kid that, you see the guys now, they're on the ice in the summer, they're on the ice all the time. It's crazy how much hockey everyone's doing right now. Like when you were young growing up, what do you think it was that kind of pushed you and turned you into the player you are and player you became? Hall of Fame player, Haas. It's crazy to say that, but what do you think?
I think the key word would be discipline. My dad taught me that because he was the coach, he was the player. And he told me if you do something, do it 100%. Otherwise, it doesn't make a sense to do it. And that kind of always I had in my mind when I was training for, when I was a kid, I had my goals. I was reading Jaromir Jagr book when he was doing the squats. And that kind of motivated me because I was like, wow, that is interesting. So before the bed, me and my brother in our room started squatting, before we went to sleep. And that mentality, I think, started rolling. And my mind was to be the best I can be. And the discipline got me there, because without the discipline, not just in hockey, but I believe in a life, it's tough to accomplish any success.
Hey, Haas, how old were you when you started skating? I'm always fascinated when guys got on blades for the first time. How old were you?
I was 5 years old.
Yeah, and right away, were you good? Did you just love it, or did you just...
No. I it took me a while to be... My brother was a smoother skater. He started skating when he was 3. He was skating with me, so I was 2 years older. And he was way smoother skater, and I was more funnier skater. And after, like, the years went on, I started learning, and I got involved with, you know... Back then, we didn't have skating coaches like the guys, these kids these days, right?
Yeah.
So kind of, you know, we had one coach and he showed me and I started learning to skate better. And after, like, I become faster and, you know, more powerful skater.
We probably have about 4 hours worth of material to ask you about. So I'll try to get through this pretty quick. But one is, how much credit does Radek Bonk get for getting you to the Hall of Fame? And the only reason I ask you this question is because you would have like 3-point nights or whatever. You'd have these really good games, and we go to Radek and we're like, hey, got to ask you about Haas. And, you know, he's like, what am I, his fucking agent? And he would do it all the time. And I always would joke about it. And so whenever I see Bonky, I always think of you and how he used to joke about you.
So with Bonky, we had a great relationship because I think my first 6 years in Ottawa, he was my roommate. So, you know, back then we had the roommates right away. And I think even the old guys, they had the roommates. So Bonky was my roommate, and he definitely was big, I would say, help on my beginning. You know, I was with him basically like a keychain, you know, everywhere he went, I went, because I didn't know better. And, you know, we played together also in the same line with Magnus Arvidsson, and we were like starting as a checking line. And we were like pretty good to check the first lines, but also we create some offense. And I enjoy playing with Radek and Magnus. And every time we came to Ottawa, or, you know, I either see him or, you know, make a text to him. So definitely love to see him one day when we come to Ottawa and have a glass of wine like in old times.
I see Bonky quite often. I'm curious, Austin, I'm trying to remember. Were you on the Bonky diet as well, with the lots of Alfredo sauce, a couple Cokes? I think Bonky used to have like 3 Cokes before every game, lots of Alfredo. Were you doing that? Was that your routine too?
Well, here and there, I enjoyed good fat foods sometimes, but I remember Bonky loves the Alfredo sauce. And
Well, I gotta ask you one more thing. So in the book, I can't wait to read this book, by the way. You said it was just released yesterday, Hossa, and it's gonna be in Slovak and English. There's gonna be 2 versions, right? So is there gonna be, you know, early on in your career, because you played a long time in the NHL, like secrets to staying and being, you know, having a proper warm-up? Because I remember in Ottawa, Haas, you used to love a good hot tub before practice. Is there going to be a little thing in the book about hot tubs early in the career?
I think I'm going to disappoint you. I don't think I mentioned the hot tub there.
Wow, buddy.
But you are right. You know, there's certain things, you know, after you write a book, it's kind of popped out, you know, and the pages would be, instead of like, I think there is like 300 something pages, you know, would be even bigger book, because there is always some new story came out. So, you're right. I was loving it to warm up in a hot tub and get warm, and then start, like, you know, doing the routine.
How much is in the book about your time in Ottawa? We'll get to the trade in a sec, but is there much in there about your beginnings in Ottawa?
I mentioned, not totally details about certain places. I just picked some stories out, and there is like few things, but not as many.
Being interviewed by me didn't make the book then, is what you're telling me.
Yeah, too bad we didn't have an interview earlier, right? I would have better probably like thoughts.
So you're going to have your jersey retired November 20th in Chicago, number 81, the 8th Chicago member to have that honor. I guess what's that reaction like? And it leads into, the Sens just announced Chris Neal will have his number 25 retired this year as well. Just tell me, you've had, where does this rank when it comes to accolades? Like, this is an original 6 team. This isn't given out to a lot of people. You become the 8th, as I said, a pretty prestigious honor.
Well, first of all, I didn't know about Miller. So Miller, congratulations. If you watch this, that's awesome. And definitely, I have a...
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Phone call with the management of the Blackhawks. They're supposed to be, you know, Rocky Words, Danny Words, Jamie Faulkner, my agent, and me. And they want to tell me something. So obviously we had kind of like a gentleman's agreement when I was... not gonna play anymore because my skin issues, then Blackhawks would like me trade my contract, right? The rights to Arizona. So basically free up the cap space. And I said no. But after like year after, they came up to me the second time and they asked me because they would, you know, they would help them. So they made a trade and I said, okay then, because I like, you know, being still be part of the team, and if I cannot help on the ice, you know, if I do it this way, you know, mean it. But I remember I told the owner, Rocky Words, I said, Rocky, but you have to promise me you sign me for one day after my contract expires. He's like, deal. So we basically come to the point, there is a big phone call, a Zoom call, and, you know, they told me about the one-day contract, but plus the bonus, or the big bonus, they told me they decide to retire my jersey. And when I heard the news, I had like goosebumps and I was like speechless at the same time. And I didn't know what to say. And they had a just great look at my face when they told me that. And that was amazing, amazing Zoom call, which I never forget.
That is an awesome story. Haas, a little bit of a tough question for you here. 3 Stanley Cups, number retired, Hockey Hall of Fame. I'm going to put you on the spot here. If you could pick a thing that you say, man, that is something I'm most proud of or something that you really value, could you pick one or is it just too tough to pick?
I think if I have to pick one, I think definitely the first Stanley Cup I won because after 2 losses, you know, that I think I enjoy the most.
Like that had to be, like, you talk about a guy, and this is kind of your story, Haas, because I remember you had a major knee injury before you even started in the NHL. Like, a lot of guys, they might not have made it, but you think experiences like that early on, a little bit of adversity, well, a lot of adversity, and then you just become such a mentally tough guy. All of a sudden, you had the, you know, Pittsburgh, Detroit, you think you're going to win, you don't win. And then, man, you just must be so proud because that takes, there's got to be something in you to just keep making you drive and keep working to be able to do that, Haas, right?
Yeah, you're right. So after the second loss, that was devastating, right? Because you lose against the team, they offer you 5 years contract, play with Sidney Crosby, and you didn't take it. And when I look back, I was looking at back when I was writing the book. I said, like, what the hell I was thinking then, you know, like playing with the best player, you know, and I clicked with him right away in Pittsburgh. We had like success in the playoffs and I went 1 year to Detroit, but I just had a vision, you know, I definitely, you know, I wanted to win and they had a great team, Detroit, even for 1 year, but I want to find out like, what exactly is in that Detroit locker room, because they were, you know, winning 3 or 4 Stanley Cups. They had the players, future Hall of Famers, and they had like great coaching staff. And I was like, I want to be part of that team, even for 1 year. I want to have a peek in that kitchen to help me to be better player. You know, why Drapers and Malbys are still like playing high class in the 4th, 3rd line, you know, checking the best players, you know, and that year gave me so much. Even when we didn't win, we lost. But that year gave me so much to be a better player, better 200-foot player, learning from Zetterberg and Datsyuk. And after when I was leaving Detroit, I was more prepared, mentally tougher, and better 200-foot player.
Did you get many chirps from your former Penguin teammates when they beat you?
From the fans, yes. From the teammates, no. I think there was some type of quiet respect to each other. Okay. So they knew how I felt. Obviously, losing second time, the closest possible way, game 7 by 1 goal, you know, against the team you had a chance to play for, right? So that was tough loss, especially that was mentally a pretty tough summer for me. But I told myself, either I'm going to like feel sorry for myself or I'm going to work even harder and you know, put everything on the side and just work, because I knew I'm going to be free agent. And that team, they're going to choose to sign me. You know, they want to Marian Hossa with a clear head, not with the feel sorry Marian Hossa. So I just start training even harder and be prepared for the new season.
You've played with so many good players. You talk about Crosby and obviously Kane and Taves and Alfie. Like, where does Alfie rank for you as a guy that's going into the Hall of Fame? I guess, what was he like for you to play with for the 5 years you were in Ottawa?
Well, with Alfie, I had a great connection right away. He's like so humble, quiet superstar, and he was excellent. I enjoyed to be always around him, great attitude guy. I usually never saw a Swedish guy like with bad attitude, so there's something about Swedes. But Alfie, you know, he was a captain, the icon of the Ottawa Senators. And a couple times, I think, I believe we were either roommates in playoffs. But with Alfie, I just had a great memories. And, you know, it was such a nice to see. Finally, he got the recognition to be Hall of Famer, because he definitely deserved it. And, you know, there was great news when I saw it.
Are there tips for him? Like, when going into the Hall of Fame, is there a secret handshake? Do you have, like, I don't know, secret codes or anything that happens?
No, but Niklas Lindstrom just told me last year, just enjoy the weekend. And obviously, there was so much things going on, so many times, different stuff you have to do. But I just took that his words, and I was just smiling and enjoying the moment.
Hey, Haas, you mentioned this earlier, and a lot of people, they didn't really know what happened to you, and you mentioned it earlier when you had the skin condition later on in your career. What happened? Like, did that just come out of the blue for you, or was that something you were always dealing with?
Yeah, so there's going to be in one, I'm writing in a book just whole chapter about the skin condition, so people understand what I went through. There's a couple pictures of that. And basically, like, shorter version, it started like last 4 years before I retired. So my last 4 seasons started like really simple, like, you know, like something I was itching. Then it was like kind of more worse. And each year was getting worse and worse until I have to basically like tape it so it doesn't soak through the t-shirts, or when I was sleeping at home, you know, my wife was always washing the sheets because I was leaking from the wounds. And that was like getting really uncomfortable, and came to the point I try everything and came to the point I have to be on a strong pill. It's almost like half a chemotherapy pill, cyclosporin. And also my doctor is writing in a book really shortly, like to explain what it means, what it was. And we try everything, but we couldn't kind of stop it. And that was only because you're sweating in equipment. You know, soon as I stopped and 2-3 weeks later after the season, when I didn't have to put equipment on, you know, the skin started healing. But during the season, you got practice, you got game, you got another game, you got back-to-back games, you know, you got practices. So the skin never had a chance to recover. And that was the problem.
And now that you're down and you're not playing, it's gone totally?
Yeah, because every time, even in the summer, after like 3 weeks after the season, the skin healed and summer was fine. Even I was running with a t-shirt, you know, I never had a problem. But soon as the season started and we started having like preseason games, and I never had the problems with the skin until like I started being around 34 years old, 35, 36, 37. So those 4 years was getting really rough. And, you know, when I was taking pills, then I have to make a decision because I cannot play the sport and eating chemicals. And I don't know what kind of side effects would it have down the road, right?
Yeah, that's a crazy story, especially something like that coming on like later in your career. Are you still trying to figure out how it happened?
No, because right now, like, I don't play hockey anymore. You know, yeah. There's like one exhibition game, and actually we're going to have another one against the Jager team. It could be actually because one we had in Bratislava and another one we're going to have in Prague. And this could be his last game when he say goodbye. That's what I heard, maybe, you know, so we'll know. Well, he's 50 years old, right? He's still playing. That's unbelievable. But anyway, so I was those two games, and one game actually that was in Toronto when I was in Hockey Hall of Fame. But you know, you barely sweated, right, in those games, and you play 20-30 minutes. So that's not really a game. But that was difficult to deal with, and I had to make a big decision.
Crazy.
You've handled it extremely well. I want to come back to Ottawa. How much in the book is on the trade from Ottawa to Atlanta?
Yeah, I mentioned it definitely. I mentioned it how it was handled. I talked about in Toronto how we met John Mackler and Peter Chiarelli in a little room. So there is like a few things I mentioned about it.
Does it still bother you to this day?
No, I get over that. Now I'm just keep smiling. But it actually bugs me for a long time when I was playing because I had I was really attached to Ottawa, to the fans, to my friends there, and it was like a special place for me. And to be dealt the way it was handled, I was disappointed, you know. And if they told me they have some trade and they don't want me, I would say, okay, give it to my face, tell me to my eyes. And I am a big guy, you know, I can handle it. You know, I would probably go somewhere else because I wouldn't want to be somewhere where they don't want me, right? They have different plans. So I'd rather go somewhere else. But I guess they were scared I won't sign it and they wouldn't trade me. So I understand that.
So Haas, when you signed that contract, you signed it in good faith and there was the no trade clause taken out, right? And then you signed it and you think you're going to be an Ottawa Senator. And then how quickly did the trade happen?
So there was arbitration going on. So we couldn't agree to the deal when I was in Europe. So they said, well, we have to go to arbitration. I said, okay, great. I feel confident. I had the good numbers. I said, so let's go to arbitration then. So I flew to Toronto and we had the dinner with my agent. I went to sleep and early morning, there is a text at the breakfast. Can we meet with you guys? They texting us with my agent. So we said, yes, of course we can meet. So we met right before arbitration, 5 minutes before it's supposed to start in a little room. And all of a sudden they told us, we're going to sign the deal. You know, we give you what you want. I was like, what? Like, I flew all the way here, and now you guys tell me, like, you agree to the deal? I was like, look at my agent. And I was like, okay, great. So and my agent told John McClure back then, he's like, but put a no trade clause in a contract. And John McClure said, I never do it. You know, so there is no way we're going to put a no trade. And I told my agent, Michael, you know, if they don't want me somewhere, I wouldn't play there. I'd rather go somewhere where they want me, right? So don't even bother to put it there. So we signed a deal. We shook the hands, you know, and on the way to the airport, I think I was sitting already in my plane going to Europe, back to Europe. And there is a phone number. And I look at the, there was Ontario number and John McClure. You know, he's like, Marianne, this is John. He's like, we just traded you to Atlanta. And I was like, great, okay, bye. And basically, that was the end of it. And I felt like just terrible. I had 9 hours sitting in a plane to think about it, what just happened, right?
That is cold, man. Like, that's, I guess there's no way to do it, man, but to do it like that, man.
I know. So, so that's why I was bitter, because the way they handle it, I think it could be handled differently. But, you know, I learned from that day, NHL is also business. And sometimes, you know, you have to swallow the pride and, you know, you're just part of the deal. And, you know, I learned from it.
I will say you got Atlanta to their only playoff appearance. You have their only 100-point season, and you are a 40-goal scorer. So you did do a pretty good job in Atlanta, despite it being in Atlanta. Let me ask you then, what's your favorite Ottawa Senator memory?
My favorite? Definitely, we had like unbelievable teams and regular seasons, and we feel like, you know, we can get close in one of those years in the playoffs. And, you know, I am writing in a book, I think, about like how great we had the Ottawa teams were unbelievable, like strong. We were winning regular season games, but when the playoffs came, we couldn't beat Toronto in through the first round. And we had like really tough against the greedy, big Toronto team. They had like Tucker, Corson, Domi, obviously Matt Sundin in front, right? So they were like difficult to beat in the playoffs. They were like, you know, animals. And we were like skilled, super fast team, and we couldn't beat them. And that was difficult. But 1 year, we went far. And we went to conference final against New Jersey. Yeah, and that we believe if we would win the game 7 against Jersey, we could beat the Anaheim Ducks that year, because I felt like we had like better team than they had. And that was great memory, but you know, not that great because we lost, but I think that year was really, in my mind, our best playoff year, so that year.
Yeah. It was phenomenal to watch. That team was really, really good. It's arguably the best team built by the Ottawa Senators, for sure.
Really, you think? Because the one team, I think, when I left, they went to the finals.
I still think that the 0203, it's the 0203 team, if I'm not mistaken, was just built better. Yeah, I will argue. I'll argue that. People will say the Heatley Spezza Alfie line carried them the entire time for that one.
Yeah. Well, that line was unreal. I remember that. And but yeah, we had like strong team then, and there was like third period, the one goal they scored. I think they kind of break us, right?
Yeah. It's the people. Yeah, I don't want to even discuss the. It's the Rakunik, Redden, Havlat debacle on the ice.
Oh boy.
I don't know who to blame. What was Jacques Martin like for you?
Jacques was a really great defensive coach. He was keen on the defense, and I didn't mind it. I actually liked it. You know, he was paying attention to details, and he was like the tougher to communicate. You couldn't read him. He was like more quiet than outspoken, right? I think Yorki could agree with me. He would love sometimes to kick shin pads, right?
You remember that? Oh, Haas. That's the big misconception about Jacques Martin. Everybody thought he didn't get mad and he was this quiet guy. He would give it to guys. Like Magnus Arvidsson, we had on the show the other day, told us the story how we became the machine. I don't know if you remember this, Haas, but it was because Jacques came in and yelled at Arby, and he's like, Arby, you're a fucking machine. Quit playing like a pussy. And the next day we all started calling Arby the machine. That's how he got the nickname. It was because of Jacques.
Arby had the best deal too, right?
Yeah, he did, eh?
He was like Lance Armstrong with the lungs.
Believe us, I was thinking about your game because I remember playing against you after I left Ottawa and you were playing for different teams. Jacques used to make us practice chipping the puck. You remember that? He'd stand at the blue line with his little Jofa Peter Forsberg stick and he'd have chip, it's gonna be 2 feet off the ice. Your game, you used to come down on defense. I remember you do it to me all the time. And you just put the puck about 4 feet behind the defenseman, make him turn, then you'd skate right by. Like not many guys can do that, but that was something that you kind of use that as like a skill move because you're so big, so fast. Like, is that something you got from Jacques, or is that something you just started doing on your own?
I think I started doing it on my own. I remember that drill we were doing, the chipping drill. There was different drills we done it. We didn't enjoy it as much. But this one, for some reason, there was like window of a couple of years in Ottawa. I started doing that. And before some big defenseman turn, right, I took advantage of that. I put it between the legs before they look at me or they have to look at the puck. And I took the split second. And I tried to, you know, overspeed them, and a couple of years it worked, but after like different rules, it stopped working. So I had to change the strategy.
Well, that was the thing with you, Haas. I always thought with guys like you, you were a triple threat. You could be physical, you were fast, and you also had skill. And oh, surprise, surprise, you're in the Hall of Fame, and that's one of the big reasons. But in the book, is there anything, we talked about the Stanley Cups, we talked about the trade. Is there anything else in the book that you remember, that you wrote about, that really sticks out for you in your career?
Well, there's lots of obviously interesting things. It's tough to choose one. Obviously, you know, writing about the Cups, writing about how we started with my brother, this chapter like with the skin condition. There's also a little chapter how we, you know, damaged the cup at the party.
How'd that happen?
You have to read it.
I like it. A little teaser, huh?
So there's like, good little parts. I think it's easy reading. It's nothing, you know, you should fall asleep on. So I think it's going to be, you know, easy book to read, you know.
You want to write a book anyhow, because that's not like some guys write books. What was your reasoning for wanting to do the book?
Yeah, so somebody after I won the first cup, you know, told me like, stop writing the book, you know, I think you have a great story. And I was like, if you write a book, you have to have like, free time and, you know, I don't have that. I want to like focus on hockey and I still got my, 10 years in front of me in my contract. So I want to keep playing. And so I kind of knew in my mind after I was getting successful, I want to, leave something behind, some legacy. And especially my kids are young and I haven't been playing this fifth year. So my little two daughters, the oldest one and the middle one, they remember a little bit maybe, right, from my career. But the youngest one, just born, she doesn't remember, she won't remember nothing. So this way, when she grabbed the book, you know, when she start reading, when she's going to be old enough, there is something like, okay, this is my dad, you know, like I know who he was. And I want to just leave something when the kids are older, they can read and they'll be proud of the dad.
Awesome.
What is your
thank you.
favorite Stanley Cup party story?
I think my best party story, it's always when we won, when the media was leaving the dressing room, and then there stayed the management, just the guys and trainers, basically the people who you were in a fight 2 months straight. And I think back there, I think that was the best time. It wasn't long, but it was in the dressing room right after. So the hype was really high. And we enjoyed the champagne, the coaches, we sprayed the coaches, and there was just champagne everywhere. And that was the best party. Obviously, there was great parties afterwards, but this was always so intense and so fun and so fresh. So I enjoyed the dressing room parties.
How much sleep do you get in the first week after winning the Stanley Cup?
Yeah, so I'm also writing a little bit about it because I told my wife that if I get lucky and win the cup, I'll be partying 5 days straight. And after I think the third night, I was sleeping, and when I look at my clock and my guys were texting me, we are at the dinner, come over. I swear to God, I want to just stay in a bed and just don't go anywhere, but I promised myself, and I'm pretty disciplined guy, so I went 5 nights.
That's your max, hey, Haas? 5 nights. That's pretty good. Yeah.
So good.
That was only the first cup.
Yeah, me too. Haas, do you still watch a lot of hockey? Like, now that you're done, is it something back home? I know it's a time change and everything, but do you still watch a lot of NHL?
Yeah. So a week or 2 weeks ago, there was a Chicago game against Seattle. So I watched that because that was afternoon game in Chicago. So I watched that. It was at night here. But usually I don't watch many hockey games because of the time change. But every morning I making kids like breakfast or, snacks for school. I have a coffee. I put my phone and I'm watching the highlights and I'm picking my favorite players who I like to watch, some highlights reels or how the Blackhawks playing. So definitely, I have an idea how the standings are, how the games are, but I don't watch hockey games.
Who are your guys? You just mentioned certain guys you like to watch. Who are guys that Marianne Holzer likes to watch?
So definitely from Chicago is Kane Taze, because they're still there, right? I text with them here and there when they have a good game or, when I see something special. So we still keep in touch. But who I like to definitely watch is definitely Connor McDavid. That's phenomenal what he is doing. He's doing his own league. And MacKinnon from Colorado and also Aston Matthews from Toronto. I think those guys, they're exciting to watch.
Nice.
We don't talk about the Leafs on this show, Marian.
Actually, they remind me Ottawa days when we were good in a regular season. And when they hit the playoffs, we couldn't pass the first round. So they're the Leafs these days, right? They just seems that just there's some similarities. I don't mean like tripping anybody, but just remind me something about it, right?
Yep. And then they're going to have to make a move and change that roster to make them win.
Yeah.
Marian, we appreciate your time. We know you're a busy man. Before we go, you're a successful businessman. The Sens are for sale. Any thought of maybe helping buy the franchise?
Which franchise?
The Sens.
Yeah. Well, definitely, I don't have that much money, so I cannot buy. I can buy like 1% of that, maybe.
Even if you don't, you're still a fan favorite in this city, a legendary status, really, for the most part. Everybody knows Marian Holzer, regardless of how much time has passed. We appreciate your time. Congrats on the Hall of Fame, and congrats on having your jersey retired. We look forward to seeing that ceremony on November 20th in Chicago, my friend.
Thank you guys for having me. And, Ottawa always going to be in my heart. Because that's where I started, and I have just great memories, and I still got lots of friends there. So, want to say hi to everybody, and go Sens.
And special thanks once again to Marian Hossa. Yorkie, he's going to have his number retired. And as we said in the interview, Chris Neal, it was announced, is going to have his number 25 retired by the Ottawa Senators coming up February 17th against Chicago, ironically enough, or coincidentally, I guess. Listen, there's lots of chat about whether or not numbers should be retired. I am for Chris Neal's number being retired, just so we're clear. 1,026 games. He sits 20th all-time in penalty minutes. He's a heart and soul guy. It's a franchise that's young. It doesn't have a lot of history. Doesn't have Stanley Cups and all that stuff. I believe this is the right move to honor somebody who's given basically everything he's got to this organization.
Well, don't forget, I think some of Nealer's games he played, I think they count as maybe 1.5, because some of those nights you're fighting Ty Domi, you're taking on the Leafs team, you're standing up for everybody. I got a lot of time for Nealer. I say this about him. I watched him, and he's a guy that I say he played the game from the tips, from the back tees. Like, every night this guy brought it. He fought. People say, well, he didn't score enough. He wasn't a top six player. Young franchise, building some history. I think it's a good move. You honor a guy that's played all his games with the Ottawa Senators, loves the city, has made it this his home. And you got to factor in the off-ice stuff as well, Wally. Like, this guy has done so much in the community, his whole family. I think it's good. Any time you can bring a positive story of a guy that has dedicated his entire professional career to the Ottawa Senators and done so in a different fashion than most players, through toughness, standing up for his teammates, and some memorable, massive hits. Like that one hit he laid over on the right in front of the visiting bench. You could hear that hit from the 400 level. I'm trying to remember who that guy he ran over was, Wally. Was it the Buffalo Sabres game? Or is it Washington Capitals? I just remember the hit. It was a piercing sound. It was Boston, right? Who was the guy? Wally, do you remember the guy he got with that hit? It's blacking out. I mean, I know I'm putting you on the spot. But one of the...
No.
Yeah, maybe Brandon Carlo. One of the biggest hits I've ever seen. But that's Chris Neal. Physical... played the game from the tips, like I said, and it's a big honor, and people can debate it all they want, but I think it's a great thing for the franchise.
And so, and it is, it's not stereotypical of a top six forward or a top 4D type who's all that stuff. I get it. But the point is, it doesn't matter to the Toronto fans or to LA or Nashville who it is. It's about Ottawa and the market and what they have meant to this organization. And so for this organization, Chris Neal was every bit a part of the fabric than anybody else has played alongside Alfie, alongside Phillips. So I don't have a problem with it. If people in LA are upset, that's fine. Listen, they're building a statue to Dustin Brown. I don't know that I care that there should be a statue to the guy, but that's for them. I don't care. Like, good for them. If they want to do that, go ahead. So don't have an issue in a market that doesn't have an impact in your life.
Are they doing a statue? No, you're joking, right?
No, I'm pretty sure they're building a statue for Dustin Brown.
Well, statues. So a number is one thing. A statue to me, if you get a statue, that's a whole different level there. You put the statue up. And no disrespect to Dustin Brown, another guy that played the game from the tips as well, played hard, captain.
Exactly.
But you do what you want as a franchise. Do what you want. There's a committee. They go through their process. They figure things out. The one thing about Nealer, too, if you look at the fabric of the Ottawa Senators fan base, there is a big my vocabulary is escaping. There's a big Ottawa Valley kind of old school type of mentality within our fan base where people like tough hockey. And the fan in Ottawa, the average fan in Ottawa knows hockey. And he understands the importance of team toughness. And Nealer played an era, too, where there was fighting. Like, early on in his career, he had to fight a lot and stick up. But he could also play the game as well. So it's people can, like I said, you can debate it all you want. It's a nice move. And it brings more history. The one thing this franchise lacks, there's not a lot of history because it's a young franchise. It's an expansion team. There hasn't been a modern-day Stanley Cup here yet, so... You have to take pride in some of your accomplishments, some of the things you have done as a group, as a team. Because if you don't do that, I think you're kind of missing something as a team. So you have to grab on and really celebrate some of the good things that this team has had. And anytime you can have a celebration, do something, honor somebody, I think it's a good thing.
And a couple of points to that. One is the Sens are struggling on the ice, but off the ice right now, they're doing a lot of good things and they're doing a lot of the right moves. And it's been very stale for the last decade at least. And so, you know, Alfie wasn't part of the organization anymore and Chris Phillips had left. And now guys are coming back in. Tim Stützle saw an early show that we did with Meth and Alfie was on. And Tim said to some of the people that worked in the organization, how do I meet Daniel Alfredsson, who didn't know anything about him? And so that history that they don't know about is now starting to come back in. Open up the Ring of Honor. They're going to put some more players and more people into it. Jacques Martin should be in there. All kinds of people. It's build the history. Let people know what had transpired here, especially early in those 2000s when they were dominating hockey games. They had one of the best lines in hockey. All that stuff. That story needs to be told, good or bad, I guess, at some point. And let people understand that there is a bit of history here to feel that kind of sense of pride within that organization. So if it means hanging number 25 and 4 and 11 to the rafters, you hang them.
So I agree, Wally. So unfortunately for the Senators fan base, we had a period of I don't know how many years where I think we lost a generation of fans for this hockey club. Just by ostracizing your best player you've ever had. And that was a huge mistake. And I don't want to talk poorly about Eugene Melnyk, who's no longer around, because I think that's poor taste. But the fact is, there were some big mistakes made with Daniel Alfredsson and how players that played for the team in the past, not that guys were treated poorly or anything, it was just things were done in a different fashion. And that really, I can tell you, a lot of my friends that were season ticket holders, they had boxes, they stopped going. People stopped going. People mm-hmm. stopped caring. And I'm not saying something that's people don't know, but that's what happened. A fan base was left behind. And there is a period in time where this team lost a lot of traction. So I do agree that part of doing these moves, I'm not saying that's why they are being done, but it's a good thing because you're embracing your history. You're getting some goodwill back with your fan base. And people are talking about the Ottawa Senators again. And anytime you're talking about the Senators and you're interested, it's a good thing. So debate all you want. People can say he doesn't belong, whatever. It's a nice honor. And I talked to Chris the other day. I sent him a message. He's so excited. This guy lives and dies with the team. He loves it. Yes. And it's a good thing, man. It's a good thing.
He's at every game. He is a full on Ottawa Senator. That's his identity. So I don't have any issues, as I said, with him having his number retired. I think it's well-deserved. Congrats to Nealer. And now Yorkie, I'm off all weekend just to watch Ryan Reynolds movies. That's my goal.
You got a man crush, Wally?
I just want to know what the new owner is like. I just want to make sure I know everything about him. So yeah, I'll watch all the movies.
I am off to Windsor, Ontario. I'm going to watch some more U Sports hockey. My oldest son, Jack, is playing in Windsor. So I'm going to get in my sled and off we're going to go for the weekend, visit the in-laws and catch a couple U Sports hockey games. Two of them in Windsor, so I got a long drive ahead of me.
Well, enjoy. Be safe on the roads. We'll catch up again on Monday.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.